الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا كثيرا وفقها في الدين، وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن. اللهم واحد صفوفنا بالقرآن والسنة، اللهم تقبل منا. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you all and accept from you. May Allah reward you for staying for this class, inshaAllah ta'ala. This will be our seventh class in speaking about the tafsir of the Qur'an al-Azim. And we'll begin by reading the verses that we'll be talking about today, inshaAllah. After that we will talk about the tafsir of these ayat, inshaAllah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين، فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ، فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ، هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لباس لهم، علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم، فالآن باشرون. وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر، ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل، ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد، تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها، كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون. صدق الله العظيم. May Allah let us meet the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah, and fast these days. Today we'll be speaking about the importance of the Siyam, the fasting, the pillar of Islam, and one of the most important acts of worship that we have as believers. We'll start, inshallah, by just going over the meaning of some of the words that we covered in these ayat, inshallah ta'ala. First and foremost, the word siyam. What does the word siyam mean? Siyam, literally in Arabic, it means to hold back something. Imsak. to hold something back or to prevent something or to leave something. And Sawm actually, what it meant in previous nations, they would fast or they would have Sawm from speaking. And this is why we have in Surah Maryam, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلْرَحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. It means to refrain from speaking. What she meant there was that she would not speak to anybody. I made an oath to Allah that I would not speak to anybody. However, when we refer to Sawm in Islam, what it refers to is to restrain or hold back from eating, drinking, and sexual relations, with intention, from the beginning of Fajr until the setting of the sun. So this is the technical or the Sharia definition of fasting, which is to refrain from those three things, from the beginning of Fajr to the setting of the sun with intention. Person, if they forgot or they didn't know that it was a day of fasting and they didn't eat the whole day, it doesn't count as sawm. There has to be a niyyah because it's an act of worship. All acts of worship, they must have a niyyah. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And also part of sawm or perfection of the sawm is to refrain from everything haram and to do everything that is commanded. That is an important part of sawm, which is to refrain from, for example, ghibah, backbiting, and other matters such as that. Also, we have in these beautiful ayahs the word yutiqunahu, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ. And what this means, the word yutiqun, and so that we begin to get used to the vocabulary of the Quran, yutiqun means that one is who is able to fast, but it's a great hardship on them. So those who are able to fast, but it's a great hardship on them, then they're allowed to pay a fidya. And we'll talk about the fidya in a little bit. And this generally refers to the people who are elderly, for example, and they're not going to be able to fast in the future. They can't make it up in the future. So in that case, they have to pay a fidya for the days that they have missed. Also, we have the word shahar. Shahar in Arabic, very interesting derivation of the word shahar. It means month, but its origin is from ishtihar, which means something that is well known, something that is famous and well known amongst people. And the reason why it became used for the word month is because the months were the well-known periods that people would divide their time into. So they would say, we'll meet you in this month, or we'll have the gathering in this month. It was a well-known period, a miqat, a placement of arrangement of time that was known amongst the people. So the word shahar in Arabic comes from ishtihar, which means something that is well known and something that is known. Also an interesting word, an interesting meaning, that the word Ramadan itself. The word Ramadan comes from Ramad in Arabic, or Ramada, which literally it means hot heat of the sun. The heat of the sun, when it heats up the earth, this is called Ramadan. And the reason why the month of Ramadan was called Ramadan, according to some of the ulama, Imam Al-Raghib Al-Asbahani, he says that because the sun, the month of Ramadan, it burns away the sins of people. People who have many sins, they come into the month of Ramadan, and then after the month passes by, it takes away their sins, it burns away the sins from the acts of worship, the siyam and the qiyam, all of those acts of worship, inshallah, that we will carry out, inshallah, they take away the sins of a person just like heat heats up the earth, and from that heat, the sins are burned away and melted away. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ar-Rafath, Uhilla lakum laylatul siyam, Ar-Rafathu. Ar-Rafathu, literally, it means speech that a man has between him and his wife, the private speech that is normally between married couples. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses that word to refer to relations between a husband and a wife. And this is called kinaya. This is called like symbolism, where Allah azza wa jal does not want to use speech that is very obvious, but He uses subtle speech in his when He speaks. And so Allah says, Ibn Abbas, He says that الرَّفَثُ هُوَ الْجِمَاعُ. It is the relations between a husband and a wife. But Allah is generous and haneen and soft And he likes to use kinaya. He likes to use symbolism. So what is meant is that it is permissible to have relations during the night, and during the night in Ramadan. Also we have the word aqifun. Aqifun from i'tikaf, which is another one of the beautiful acts of worship in the month of Ramadan. And the meaning of the word i'tikaf is it is to stay in the masjid with the intention of ibadah and with the intention of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we come to the masjid, even now or between salawat or any time we're in the house of Allah, if we make that intention that we'll be here in the masjid, then that our time here in the masjid is in order that we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be an i'tikaf for us, and we'll earn the ajr of the i'tikaf. Now let us look at the general meaning of these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is informing us that He has commanded us to fast, He has commanded the fasting of the believers, just as He has commanded it on the nations before us. That the previous nations, the Bani Israel and the Nasara, Christians and the Jews, they were also commanded to fast the month of Ramadan, as we'll see shortly. And it has a great benefit for believers, an awesome benefit for believers, which is that it prepares them, it produces taqwa in their hearts, and it prepares their nafs to restrain from their shahwa. Because during the month of Ramadan, we hold ourselves back from what Allah has made halal, in order that the rest of the year we hold ourselves back from what Allah has made haram. We make sawm in the days of Ramadan from halal, and we must make sawm from the rest of the year from the haram. So this is a tarbiyah for the nafs. Allah is la'allakum tattaqun. Tattaqun means to stay away from the shahawat or whatever Allah has forbidden for us. And also we see in these ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He has made it ayyaman ma'ludat, a small number of days. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He didn't command us to fast the whole of the year, but He only commanded us to fast a certain number of days. And even those days, for one who is sick, one is traveling, then they're allowed to make up the days later. They're allowed to break their fast. Again, from the rahmah of Allah and His mercy towards His ummah. And so, if anybody has to break their fast during those days, then they're allowed to make it up in other days. And this month of Ramadan, Allah from His mercy again, He sent down the Qur'an in this month. So when we fast that month, we're remembering the mercy of Allah to this ummah, that He sent down a guidance for us, a nur, a shifa, for what is in our hearts, and a guidance for our lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He explains that during this month, after these ayahs talking about the month of Ramadan, He said, if my servants ask you about me, then tell them that I am nearby to them and I answer their du'as. And this is also in response to some Bedouins who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, oh Muhammad ﷺ, is our Lord far away so that we have to shout out when we pray to Him, to call out to Him? Or is our Lord nearby that we can whisper and have what the nunajihi, to speak to Him in close personal words? So then when they asked this question, should we raise our voice in prayer and call out to Allah? Allah revealed these beautiful ayahs. فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask about me, then I am close to them. I am nearby to them. I answer the call of whoever calls upon me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has also, from His mercy, He has allowed the relations between the husband and wife during the nights of Ramadan. And initially it was forbidden. In the beginning of the commandment of fasting, it was forbidden. But then Allah, from His mercy, He allowed the man and wife to have their marriage relations during the month of Ramadan. Except in the case of i'tikaf, when a person is in i'tikaf, then the Prophet ﷺ, he would stay away from his wives. So during the time of i'tikaf, it is not permissible for a person to go to his wife. Now the reason behind the revelation of these ayahs, the sabab al-nuzul, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, what was required for the believers was to fast the 3 days of every month, the ayam al-bir, and also the day of Ashura. The day of Ashura, but then that was abrogated by these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down the verses after they came to Medina. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Whoever has witnessed the month, and what is meant by here is they witnessed the time of the month of Ramadan, then they should fast it. So this abrogated the obligation to fast the day of Ashura. However, it is still optional. If one likes to fast the day of Ashura, they can, but it is no longer obligatory. And also, the reason for revelation, we see that there was a person named Qais ibn Sarma, and he was one of the Sahaba, and he came home, and during the month of fasting, Ramadan, and he asked his wife, "Do we have any food to eat?" So she said, "No, we don't have any food. Let me go and look for some food." And so he fell asleep, and then after he woke up, it was already nighttime. And initially the fasting, it was forbidden to fast. It was forbidden to eat after going to sleep during the night. It was only allowed to have the iftar at Maghrib. Then there was no more eating or drinking or marriage relations after that in the night. So he woke up in the night and his wife had brought some food. And he was, but he couldn't eat it because it was not allowed. So he began the next day fasting 2 days in a row. And during the middle of the next day, he fell unconscious. He became unconscious because of the hardship that was on him. So then when the Prophet ﷺ, he heard about this, this was mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed the ayahs, وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةُ الصِّيَامِ أَرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ, until he says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ. So you can eat and drink until the very moment of Fajr. And the ulama say that having the imsak, stopping like 15 minutes before Fajr, we can do that, but it's not obligatory. If somebody eats after that time, if it's still before the time of Fajr, then there's no harm on his fast, inshaAllah ta'ala. And some very interesting things now about this verse, these verses that Allah revealed. These verses, they indicate to us that fasting is not a new act of worship. It is not something new that was obligatory upon Muslims, but rather it was obligatory upon the Jews and the Christians. However, the ulama, they state that when the Jews and the Christians, they found that the moving of Ramadan, the month, would move throughout the year. Some years it would be in the very hot time of the year. Some years it would be in the very cold time of the year. So they found that difficult. So what they did is they fixed it according to the days of spring. They changed the law of Allah, they changed the command of Allah, and they made the fasting that they would have in the middle of spring. And during that time, they added extra days onto it, 10 or 20 days. So they would fast 50 days to make up for changing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was not allowed for them. This was not correct to fix the days of fasting. Allah had commanded the fasting of the month of Ramadan, but they changed it in order to fast it at the same time every year. And this is not allowed to tamper with what Allah has commanded. We're not allowed to change the month that Allah has commanded us to fast. We cannot fix the month of Ramadan in one place throughout the year. It is by Allah's wisdom that the month of Ramadan, it moves throughout the four seasons. It moves around the four seasons, and for example this year, it will be from the time of the summer, but inshallah it will be very rewarding for us, inshallah ta'ala. Also the ulama, they state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that the purpose behind the fasting, which is to achieve the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a great hikmah behind all of our acts of worship. Allah did not command the acts of worship to be hard on us, but He wanted for us to achieve a high purpose, a noble aim. And from these noble aims is to guard oneself from the shahawat of the stomach and of the private parts. And also, Al-Qaffan, who was one of the Mufassirin, He says that look at the amazing reasoning that Allah gives for this act of worship. He says first that fasting was given, prescribed for us in order for us to achieve taqwa, in order for us to become from the muttaqeen. Secondly, he said that fasting was prescribed for us so that, and that it would only be in a few number days, ayyam and ma'dudat, so that these fixed days, they will be days that are not hardship on us throughout the year. Like some religions and some practices, they fast throughout the whole year. Every day they fast. So Allah set them for a set number of days. Also, He says that Allah, He gave us an example in the ummas before us, so that we can see how they carried out this worship, but then they went away from the correct act of worship. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chose the month of Ramadan as an honor for this month, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the blessed Qur'an, the first revelation of it. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removed the hardship from the ummah. Whoever has a hardship, an old man or woman, somebody who's sick, somebody who's traveling, a woman who's breastfeeding, a woman who's pregnant, any of these people, they are excused. And this is a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. This is something very, very beautiful. Allah, He wants for you easiness, and He does not want for you hardship. This is something that the scholars, they derive a very important principle from this ayah, which is, الْمَشَقَّةُ تَجْلِبُ التَّيْسِيرِ. Whenever there's a hardship, then the mashaqqa, it brings the easiness. This is a foundational principle in fiqh. Every hardship brings an easiness with it. Somebody is not able to stand in prayer, he can sit down. Somebody is not able to fast, then he can make it up other days of the year. Somebody cannot make up his fast, he's old or he's permanently disabled, he can pay a fidyah. Somebody is not able to give the zakat, then there's no obligation upon him to give the zakat. Everything that we find in the Sharia, every hardship, it brings with it ease. This is one of the most beautiful ayahs in the Quran. Allah, He wants for you easiness, and He does not want hardship. Anytime you find in hardship towards the ummah, Allah has brought a way out. Allah has shown us a way out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His Sharia, He does not intend to burden His servants. But what He intends is that they show their ubudiyah to Him. This is all that is intended by these acts of worship, to show our ubudiyah to Allah. Not to burden us, not to be so hard on us, but just to show that we worship Him, it requires some effort. This is what Allah wants, but not beyond that level. When that burden of ubudiyah goes beyond that level where it reaches hardship and mashaqqa, this is where the easiness comes in, and Allah allows. For example, you cannot find water, then Allah allows tayammum. If washing the feet is very difficult, then one can make mas on your khufs. So many examples we'll find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought easiness for His ummah. This is one of the very beautiful principles, al-mashaqqatu tajlibu at-taysir. This is something that you will only find in Islam. That the goal is not to make hardship on people, but that the goal of Islam is to make things easy for people. And then Allah says, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And then Allah says, you can eat and drink until the thread of the fajr, the white thread and the black thread, become apparent to you. And something very interesting is that when one of the Sahabi, Uday ibn Hatim, he heard about this ayah, eat and drink until the white thread becomes distinct from the black thread, he took two threads and he put them under his pillow. And then at Fajr time, he kept looking under his pillow to see if the color of the two threads would become distinct. So then he would start fasting from that time. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to him, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him, the Prophet smiled. He laughed and he said, that refers to the lines in the sky. And he said, you must have a really big pillow if you can fit the white and black lines of the sky under your pillow. So he laughed and that he didn't he didn't understand the meaning of the ayah. He thought the white and black thread meant literally a white and black thread. So the ulama, they refer to this example as one of the reasons why you must refer to the tafsir in understanding the Qur'an. Even the Sahaba, they misinterpreted the Qur'an. The Sahaba, the closest people to the revelation, those with the highest level of Arabic, they sometimes misinterpreted the Qur'an until the Prophet corrected them. So we always have to refer to the books of tafsir, inshaAllah. And I don't want to keep you too long. I'm very sorry if I'm taking too long. I'm sorry to sit up on this chair. I just wanted to make it easier for everybody to see, inshaAllah. You're all better than me. I'm very, I'm the most insignificant person, inshaAllah. I'll just go over a few ahkam and then we'll finish, inshaAllah. There's the hukum, the first question about fasting is that what is the type of illness that allows us to break our fast? What is the type of illness that allows us to break our fast? Is it any type of illness? Or does it have to be a serious illness in the hospital? What are the guidelines? So the Lahiri school, you've all heard of Abu Dawud al-Lahiri, he was in Andalus, they interpret things very literally. So he said, any sickness that you have, or any traveling that you have, that comes under the ruling of the ayah, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مُرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. So he said, even if you have a little cut on your finger, you're considered sick, you can break your fast. Because he took the ayah literally. Whoever's sick, and whoever's traveling, even if you're traveling a few feet, he said you can break your fast. This was his understanding of the verse. However, the majority of the scholars, majority of the fuqaha, they said that is not is what is intended by the verse. And what is intended is that any illness, that, and these are the conditions they put. One, that if you fast, it will cause harm coming to your body. ضَرْرُ فِي النَّفْسِ. It will bring some harm to your body. Or, it will increase the illness, it will increase the effects of the illness on you. Or thirdly, it will cause the healing to be delayed. Say you have an illness, and if you fast, it will delay the healing from that illness. So in this case, you're allowed to make iftar. You're allowed to break your fast in that case. And the Zahiriya, the Jumhur, they say the proof for what they're saying, that it's not any illness, is the words of Allah, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wants easiness for you. So, and He does not want hardship. So they said that what is meant by you can break your fast when you're sick or traveling is when there's a hardship, then Allah wants easiness for you. But if there's no hardship, then there's no wisdom behind allowing a person with a small cut to break his fast. Also, we see, my beloved brothers and sisters, that the fasting, the marid, the person who's sick, does he have to break his fast? Or is he allowed to fast if he wants to? What is the ruling on that? Can he break his fast? The scholars, they say that breaking the fast on a person, it becomes obligatory if it will bring harm to him. Because Allah has forbidden harming oneself. So if it will bring harm upon the person, then he's obliged to break his fast. But if it's a matter where he feels that he can do it even though he's ill, then in that case, he's permitted to break his fast, but he does not have to do that. The third question, or the third ruling is, what is the distance that allows one to break his fast? And again, we have the opinion of Imam Uza'i, who said that the distance of one yom, of one day of traveling, which would be about 25 miles. However, the majority, the Shafi'i and the Ahmad, school of Ahmad, they say that it should be 2 days distance, which is about 80 kilometers, or 50 miles, which is the same distance for shortening the prayer. So they said if somebody's traveling that distance, they're allowed to break their fast. And the leave that the Shafi'i and the school of Ahmad use is they looked at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they saw some of the distances that he traveled. And the other schools, they did that as well. But this is the opinion that the majority of the ulama, they go by, the same distance that they're for shortening our prayers, which is 80 kilometers, or about 50 miles. Now also, we have the question of, if a person, if he's allowed to break his fast, is it better for him to break his fast, or is it better for him to fast? We already mentioned that he has to break his fast, if it will harm him. But say the illness is a mild illness, Is it better for him to break his fast, or is it better for him to keep his soul? Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi and Imam Malik, they say fasting is better. If you're strong enough to keep your fast, then they say it's better. It's better to fast. However, Imam Ahmad, his opinion was that it's better to take the rukhsa. Allah gives you a gift, a rukhsa, then you should take it. So according to the school of Imam Ahmad, he said it's allowed to, it's better to break your fast. Abdullah ibn al-Aziz, the great Khalifa, they say he's the fifth greatest Khalifa, he had an opinion that the best of them is whatever is easier for the person. If they say now is Ramadan, everybody's fasting, my whole family's fasting, let me fast now, it's easier than later on. And I'm sure many people will tell you, many sisters will tell you, it's a lot harder to fast outside of Ramadan than it is during Ramadan, because nobody else is fasting. So if he says it's easier for me to fast, then it's better for him to do it in Ramadan. And Umar ibn Abdulaziz, he said if it's easier to fast at another time, then it's better to do it then. Also, the question is, do we have to make up the fast in order? Say a person, they miss 7 days of fasting during Ramadan, does she have to make up those days in order? After Ramadan is over, does she have to fast 7 days in a row, or can she do 1 day every month, for example? And the ulama, they say that, of course, you can, as perhaps you know, the jumhur of ulama, they say that she can make them up in any time during the coming year. Does not have to be in the same order, or it does not have to be day after day. There were some of the sahaba, like Ibn Umar, who said that they should be in order, but in any case, she should try to make them up as soon as possible, because I'm telling you now, so you still have 5 months till Ramadan, inshallah. So any of us that have to make up days, we can do that now, inshallah. Also, the question is, what is the ruling for the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman? If a woman is pregnant, can she break her fast? If a woman is breastfeeding, can she break her fast? There's something very nice that Hassan al-Basri said. I'm sure the women will agree with this. He said that the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, he said that there's no sickness worse than breastfeeding, or more hard on a woman, on a person than pregnancy and breastfeeding. He said that this is a real, you know, Allah says that if you're sick, you can break your fast. He said a woman who's pregnant, that's much worse than anybody who's sick. It's a very hard, great hardship. May Allah have mercy on our mothers, subhanAllah. Carrying the baby is a very big hardship. So Hassan al-Basri, he said, there's no sickness like pregnancy. There's nothing as hard or difficult for a person like pregnancy. So she can break her fast if she's pregnant, or if she's breastfeeding, if she fears for herself or the child. However, there's an interesting point here, and it's that the Hanafi school, they say that when the pregnant woman or the breastfeeding woman makes up her fast, she makes up 1 day for each day she missed. But the Shafi school, they say that she also has to pay a fidya for each day that she missed. The Shafi school, they say she has to pay a fidya for each day that she missed, along with making up the day that she fasted. And we can talk about that perhaps and when we get closer to Ramadan, inshallah, about in more details. And one other thing, or a couple of other things that we did mention about the Ramadan, how do we know that the month of Ramadan has begun? How many witnesses have to see the moon? Does anybody know?
4, 2, 1.
I heard many different. The scholars, they say it just takes one person, one reliable witness to see the moon to begin the month. How about to end the month? Then it has to be 2. Because to begin the month, one should start right away with one witness, but to end the month of fasting, it should be more established, there should be 2 witnesses that see the Hilal. Also, we have the question of, is the different time zones, or the different countries, can they each have their own fast, or should there be one fast for the whole Ummah? I'm sure you heard this question many times. This is a difference of opinion amongst the madahib, and both of them are valid opinions amongst the ulama. The Shafi school, they say that each country can have their own Ramadan, or each rising of the moon, or each time zone, if you will. Each of those places, they can have their own Ramadan. But the Jumhur, the majority of the ulama, they said that whole ummah, they should fast according to one sighting. One sighting, the whole ummah fast. This is the Jumhur opinion. However, there's a very valid opinion and a very strong opinion in the Shafi'i school that each area or each country, they have their own sighting for the month of Ramadan. And also we have a question about if a person, they think that the sun is set, they saw it going behind a mountain. And so then they eat the dates and they start having their big meal. And then suddenly, or let's say the clouds move out of the way and they see the sun again. So is their fasting valid or not? Who says that it's still valid? Their fasting is valid? Just Dr. Anwa? A few of you? Okay. You all are following the madhab of Hassan al-Basri. He said that if a person breaks his fast by mistake, no, it's not forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, all the ulama, they say that the prayer is still valid. But we're not talking about forgetfulness here, we're talking about mistake. So the Jumhur, the form of that, actually they say that the fasting has to be made up again. They have to make up the day because it was even though they made a mistake, they didn't complete their fasting until sunset, so they have to make up the day. However, the Hassan al-Basri, his madhab, he said the hadith of the Prophet, رُفِيَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَى وَالنَّسِيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهَ عَلَيْهِ. It's a very, very important hadith. My ummah has been forgiven for three things. Al-khata, what they did by mistake. Wal-nasyan, what they forgot. Wama istukrihu alayhi, and what they've been forced to do. This is a beautiful hadith. If somebody did something by mistake, there's no sin. Somebody dropped a glass, right? A lot of sisters, they break a glass and the husband's yelling at her. She said, mention this hadith. No problem. Allah has forgiven the ummah for what is done by accident. Somebody broke a dish. May Allah make us more lenient with our wives, inshallah. Then there's no, it's a khata, it's a mistake. And a nisyan, somebody forgot. Somebody forgot something? This is again, the sisters can use this. You didn't iron my shirt. Oh, I forgot. Okay, so no problem, inshallah. If somebody forgets something, and really, this has a lot of rulings. When, for example, a person forgot his prayer and he remembers, does he have a sin on him? There's no sin. No sin on a person if he forgot. He was so busy. As soon as he realizes, oh, I forgot, he goes and makes wudu or he prays right away. There's no sin on the person. وَمَسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. And what they're forced to do. If you're forced to do something under compulsion, then again, this is forgiven. SubhanAllah, these three things, they bring a lot of relaxation to the heart of a believer. I remember this hadith often. Okay? And one, just a couple more rulings and we'll finish, inshallah. And what about the janabah? Somebody wakes up in the morning, during the day in Ramadan, and he's in a state of janabah. Is his fasting valid? Any brothers, what do you think? Is it still valid? Anybody else? Yes, the fasting is still valid. Person, his fasting is still valid. He has to right away perform the ghusl and of course make his salah. And his fasting remains valid. The janabah does not affect the soul. And the proof of that is Allah says, eat and drink and you can have relations until the break of dawn. So he didn't say that you have to stop, stop eating or drinking or having relations with enough time to become ready for fasting by the time dawn comes in. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He didn't mention that in the ayah. So the ulama, they say that the janabah does not affect one's prayer. It does not, I'm sorry, affect one's song. And also, and I think this is our last book, if somebody is doing an optional fast, say they're fasting on a Monday or a Thursday, and then their wife cooks some nice brownies, and then they say, I can't wait till iftar time, and he takes the brownie and he eats it. He's too hungry. So what happens in this case? Does he have to, first of all, is he allowed to do that? Yes. Not allowed to? He is allowed to? Difference of opinion. That's always a good answer now. According to the Shafi'i school, in the school of Ahmad, that a person is allowed to do that. They can break their fast. They use the hadith, As-sa'imu amiru nafsihi. The fasting person, he's the amir, he's in charge of himself. This is of course an optional fast, so he can break his fast if he likes. But the Hanafi school, they have another proof. They say that no, he's not allowed to break his fast, and he has to complete his fast. And if he breaks it, he has to make it up. He has to do another fast if he breaks it. And their proof is the verse of Allah, وَلَا تُبَطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Do not cancel out your good deeds. You did something good, you started fasting, do not cancel it out, complete it till its end. So each one, they have their proof, and they have their belief. Finally, we'll finish by saying that the fasting is one of the greatest pillars of Islam, with so many benefits, not only in terms of taqwa and tarbiyah of the nafs, but also even physical benefits, health benefits. You might have heard about medical fasting, that even doctors now, they prescribe fasting for medical benefit for people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom and His mercy, He set upon us, given us this month in order to get closer to Him and to worship Him during this month. We ask Allah to let us reach Ramadan and fast it and have all our sins forgiven, inshaAllah. Wa jazakum Allah khayr. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khayr. This is all for the dars. If anybody needs to leave, you're welcome to, inshaAllah. And maybe we'll just take one or a couple of questions if there's any from the brothers or the sisters, inshaAllah. Yes, Brother Fahad?
So if someone thinks that it's time for sunset and they break their fast and they later find out that it wasn't sunset, is that according to the form of he has to make it up, right?
Right.
So
yes.
Does that mean that, would it be better to just wait a few minutes or something to be on the safe side? For example, if we use a clock to say that, okay, now it's time for Maghrib and someone makes the adhan right away, and we all break our fast right then, the next day we find out, oh, that clock is a minute ahead.
Right. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that this ummah will continue to remain on goodness as long as they speed their iftar. So they don't say, I want to be better than other people, I'm going to fast, I'm going to stay longer, I'm going to fast extra time, or I'm going to fast al Isha, or fast extra time. But the important thing is that the person should be sure that the time is coming for Maghrib, that the sun has set. So as you said, if the clock, you should make sure that the clock is accurate, but it shouldn't be like on every day. There's no need to wait every day an extra 5 minutes or something like that. But they should make sure that their clock is accurate, or that the tables are correct. For Maghrib, Maghrib is actually one of the salahs that the time is very, very accurate, because it can be precisely calculated. As soon as the orb of the sun goes below the horizon, it's very easy to calculate. So it's not likely to be an error. When it comes to Fajr, you have many different madhahib, many different opinions amongst the ulama, even the Asr time. As you know, there's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. But for the Maghrib, it's pretty accurate. So just to make sure that the time has come in, inshallah, that is sufficient. Inshallah. Any other questions for sisters or? No? Okay. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless. Yes, Brother Bilal.
When does the time of fasting begin, for instance? I've seen some people that begin the time of fasting before the call of Azan at Fajr, and some people keep on eating it until the Azan.
No. Very good question. The time for the fasting is from the break of dawn. So there was two Azans in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but that doesn't mean that you have to start fasting after. There's the time that I think it's about 15 minutes before Fajr that sometimes they write on the calendars, it's called Imsak. That is not obligatory. You can eat all the way until the time of the break of Fajr. There's no harm in that, but they put that there in case you're in the middle of your meal and they start. It's not good to be like in the middle of your meal and then the adhan is called. So you can stop a little bit ahead of time, but it's not obligatory. You can eat right until the time of the break of dawn, inshallah.
Meaning you can continue eating until the adhan ends?
Until the beginning of the adhan. The adhan, of course, it depends on how accurate the muadhin is. The muadhin, if he's calling the adhan at precisely the time, it's not that the adhan itself, but it's the time that the fajr comes in. So if the time of Fajr has come in, then you cannot eat after that. After the time. InshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you all with the Quran and Aleem and give you much goodness and knowledge and fiqh of the religion. And inshaAllah, everybody give salam to their brothers and sisters. InshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair.